National headlines and the local stories you care about. WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330, FM 106.3.
Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. Streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. This morning we are on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. I assume at this moment you can see our handsome young guest. He is the Sheriff of Harrelson County. His name is Stacy Williams. And love that we have him on the program this morning. Stacy, good morning.
Well, good morning, Colin, and good morning to all the listeners out here.
And thank you for bringing biscuits. Where'd you get those biscuits? Joel and I were talking. I mean, they melt in your mouth. I mean, whoever's making those biscuits.
Well, there's only one place to get biscuits, and that's in Bremen, and that's Grandma's restaurant. Yeah, I like eating there. It's the kind of hometown atmosphere. You get a lot of people come in, and you get to talk to a lot of people, and you know we solve a lot of problems at that morning table like that. That's it's just wonderful. But it's a good restaurant.
We got a little joint up the road here too, where I think where I kind of picture that's where everybody congregates, and that's where you're getting all the gossip and maybe getting ideas.
Well, I eat at Jerry's actually. I eat at Jerry's Monday. Jerry's Monday morning up here. I worked at Carrollton PD for 13 and a half years, so I got to visit all the local establishments like it. So Brock and Miss Jerry and all that, good people up there. So yeah, Jerry's, if you're in Carrollton, that's a good place. Maple Street Diner, we used to do a lot of eating there. You know, they have big crowds in the mornings, and just a good place to go to fellowship.
Last 3 or 4 months, we've been getting, our guests have been kind enough to bring in some food, and I think we've all put on, everybody except for Joel. Joel hasn't put on any weight, but he's eating as much as all of us. But, yeah, we enjoy it, but I definitely want to give a nod. And honestly, that's the best biscuit I've had ever. So Grandma's in Bremen.
It's good. We just went to South. Me and my wife just finished a 9-day trip out to South Dakota and Wyoming, and I sent the waitress a picture of the meal that I was eating out there. I said, this ain't Grandma's, but hey, this is what I'm going to get today.
Well, so cool. We'll talk about that trip too then. But first of all, let's acknowledge this is your first trip back on the Community Voice program since re-election campaign ended, and you won. Is it 79%?
It was around 79%. I like to round it up. I hear 80, it just sounds better, but I'm being humble about it. But it's just... that was miraculous. All I can say about that is I told the people in 20 when I got elected, I told people exactly what we're going to do. We expanded on that. We've done a lot more than that. But I just want to remind the listeners here, as from a sheriff, they created a sheriff position in 1732 in Georgia, and it's rooted in the Constitution. So the local sheriff doesn't work for a political body, meaning the Board of Commissioners or anything like it. The sheriff works for the people. The sheriff is the closest elected person to the people in each county. And if I don't talk to 50 people today when I'm out and about, with the office or out and about, you haven't done nothing. You get to help a lot of people. And our job as a sheriff, first and foremost, is to help the people that you serve. First and foremost, we're not here to hurt people. We're here to make people's lives better. But we are a sheriff. We represent the rule of law. We are the first line of defense in our county people's constitutional rights. That's what sheriffs do. And we stand between them and the tyranny of, as we say, the federal government. We're Georgians first, and then we're Americans. Georgia is our home state. Sheriff is mentioned in the Constitution over 600 times in the Georgia Constitution. We get our authority naturally by law. Through the Constitution, not by law. And that's what separates a sheriff from being a police chief or some type of other executive in law enforcement. So I really like my job. We've done a lot. I tell people I put my britches on just like you do. I'm just a common Joe. Believe in doing right. If somebody's messing with you, then they mess with us. And I got 43 deputies, and by God, we'll all stand beside you, behind you, in front of you. But they mess with you, they mess with us.
Well, we did, News Talk 1330, we did want to find out, that was a significant win. I mean, to have two of the challengers, too. And we did a little research afterward to kind of find out, what people were saying about why they voted for you. And it looked like 37% of the people that did vote for you said they did it because of Heather M.
Because of what?
Heather M., because she works for you.
She is an outstanding employee. That's right.
Yeah, no, she is my favorite. And, public information officer, Heather. That's just a joke, though. I think the majority of them like you.
Well, it's my job is not to make people happy. That's what you have to understand. Our job is to perform this job and to help the people and do what's required of this office. And if we do that, I think generally you would come out. And like I said, our priority every day is we have a mission. We get out here. Our job is to help people and enforce the rule of law and make sure that everybody's treated equally and with no bias or anything like it. Like I said, you got a problem, it's our job, and we're going to do the best job we can within the law to help these people.
Another 12% said they voted for you because of Jamie Saylor.
Okay. Jamie's a great guy,
too. He is. No, I like Jamie, too. You said political. It's not a political position. You know, but you got to run as a Republican or Democrat.
You do.
Are you gonna take care of the Democrats in Harrelson County as much as you'll take care of the Republicans since you had the big R by your name?
Well, let me say this: there's talks in the state legislature now amongst the other sheriffs. The sheriff should not be a political pawn to a Republican Party, Democrat Party, be an independent or anything like it. If I don't know if a lot of people know this, but if you look at our Superior Court judges, our judgeships and stuff. It's called nonpartisan. A sheriff's position should be nonpartisan. We represent all the people. It doesn't matter what color of the skin you got. It doesn't matter what affiliation you have with a political party or whatever. It doesn't matter. We represent the populace, period. And it shouldn't matter like it. So my belief is a sheriff should be a nonpartisan position when it comes to that. We shouldn't, but if you're asking me, what party do I lean toward? Well, naturally, the Republican Party. I believe more in that. But at the end of the day, I consider myself a statesman. Georgia's my mother. This is my home state. I really dwell into history, and I get into all that. If you ain't ever read the Constitution, you need to do it. I've been to Washington, D.C. I've seen everything. It means a lot to me. A lot of people don't understand what it means to be a citizen in this state of Georgia. And, you know, when it comes to election, I had so many people say, Sheriff, we'll be there for you in November. And I'm like, I hope you're there in May because, you know, you got to get through a primary first. They don't understand how the election cycle works. And we've lost that over the years. It's just when I grew up. We had civics or civicnomics, whatever you want to call it, back in school, and we learned all this. But I just wish our school or education system somehow across the state of Georgia would, do a better job educating our young people and they can learn that in life and how our government works and the uniqueness of each position and what everybody does.
And because you just ran in a primary, there wasn't a Democratic challenger. You won a month ago. So, I mean, mm-hmm. If somebody else would have won, it's like a seven-month period where mm-hmm. you have the incumbent sheriff or somebody just waiting to come in.
Right.
I guess that could be good for training or something like that. But have you talked to Tyler Paul Smith, your state house rep, about that bill?
No, I have not. I've talked to him on a couple of brief conversations. Quick, Tyler Paul stays busy. He's a lawyer.
He's an attorney. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a lawyer, and he has a lot going on. And
plus, he's freshly married too. Hmm? He's freshly married too.
Yeah, bless his heart. Yeah.
All right, time right now is 8:38. We'll go ahead and take our first break here and continue our conversation with Stacey Williams. There's a couple of recent things that you've been involved that I want to touch on. I mean, Highway 100's kind of some scary, five in the last few days. We'll talk mm-hmm. about that. And in a case that you got involved in where you crossed over jurisdiction.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that as well when we take our after our first break. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Back to the WLBB Community Voice, News Talk 1330, FM 106.3. Time right now is 840. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest is Harrelson County Sheriff Stacy Williams. Monday morning, I think there was two accidents. One of them, a truck actually rolled over, a log truck rolled over, and traffic was
Monday
affected for a bit. But you had three accidents on Highway 100 yesterday, too?
Yes. So I would say in the last 48 hours, we've had five pretty good accidents right there just in about a 3 mile stretch. When I sit back and I look at day-to-day wrap-up of everything going across the county, I don't really monitor what goes on in the city unless we hear about it, but I'm more concerned about the unincorporated. But when I look at, we've had five major accidents on 100 North, like from the area of Jacksonville Road, Salem Church Road, up to the county line. We had two. The first one, Monday morning, three injured, vehicle rollover, DUI related, one life lighted out. And then that afternoon, we had I don't know if it was state, somebody was mowing on the side of the road. I don't know who it was. Dump truck comes down, sees the lawnmower, bears out in the oncoming lane in front, meeting a log truck. Well, the log truck didn't have nowhere to go, so he jerks it, and when he gets on the shoulder road, he tips over, goes off into the woods, and flips over. And luckily, he wasn't hurt. And then, yesterday afternoon, during the night, we had three more wrecks in the same vicinity. Couple injuries and things, but that's really not normal, you know? It's just like, okay, why? What's
it's all
going
for
on?
Different reasons, right? Too. It's not like they were all because of
it's
speeding.
It's not all the
all
same.
DUI.
One was falling too close. Yeah. Falling too close. Something about losing brakes or something. But that's yet to be determined. But you know, you have to go through that. And from a law enforcement standpoint, when we have accidents like this, we go back and look at the data. Why has it happened? What can we do to prevent this? That we need more enforcement action in that area. Mm-hmm. To make drivers more aware, because we got a problem, and it's only going to get worse. If you sit back and don't do nothing, then it's going to get worse. And so we take a proactive approach to it, and that's the way we've run our administration since day one. We're proactive. We just don't wait till a problem comes to us. We spot problems. We do police-led, intelligence-led policing, and that's just what you do. And it's just, you go after, it's being proactive, you go look for crime. You know, you solve the crime before it becomes a crime, so to speak.
Yeah, prevention.
Before, you know, your constituents and your people, you know, become a victim, and that's what we do.
Let me see what you think about this. I'm guessing for that one, for the truck that got into the left lane while the log truck was coming on, and then swerve back over but cause the log truck to roll over and lose its bundle, and it caused traffic delay for 2 hours.
It did.
It's a misdemeanor charge.
It is.
A failure to maintain lane.
Yes,
what
sir.
Do you
or
think
driving
about
on
that?
The wrong side of the roadway, either which one.
That's,
yes,
that's the biggest charge that one could receive. What do you think about
it? We could.
That?
Well, it's up to a $1,000 fine or one year in jail. Yeah. So it's a misdemeanor, and people got to understand if it's a misdemeanor. People don't understand you can go to jail for speeding. You can go to jail for running a stop sign. You can go to jail for running a red light. It's a misdemeanor. It goes back into Georgia criminal procedure. But do we do that? No. We usually cite, write a ticket, and release to appear.
Would have been injury, if the guy would have injured himself, the log truck, if he would have suffered serious injury, would that have changed at all, that charge?
Yes, it could have. Right. If he would have, under Georgia law, if he would have had a serious injuries, and like it right there, yes, he could have been charged with serious injury by motor vehicle, and then that would up the charges too. So, but at the end of the day, nobody was hurt. There's property damage and stuff like that. You know, big trucks like it carry an enormous amount of insurance and stuff like it. So it's all going to come down to a civil insurance thing.
So that ticket should be enough then to protect him as far as his insurance?
Well,
the
you got the ticket, you got the criminal, that's the criminal side, and then you got the civil side. The civil is totally different.
Well, they'll use that as a reference, like they did ticket him.
That's exactly right. They'll use that as a point, but on the civil thing, it's the preponderance of evidence, not like you got to have probable cause, but within, that's what they say, but beyond a reasonable doubt.
Mm-hmm. So. All right, time right now is 8:45. Let me ask you this before we take our mm-hmm. second break. You, a local constituent, I guess, a local resident of Harrelson County, reached out to you, asked you for some help, maybe something they were concerned about in a different county recently.
They did. Yeah. They did. Me and my wife, matter of fact, you know, we took about a nine-day trip out to South Dakota and Wyoming, went out and seen a guy when I worked in Afghanistan, me and another, he was a police officer in Rapid City. He was a forensics guy. But anyway, we'd been wanting to go out to Rapid City and stay with him. When we got laid off back in 15, Obama laid us off in 15. So we all went home, and he'd been on me for the last 9 years. So after the election, I had to tie some things up, went on vacation. But on the way home from that trip, and by the way, we drove 4,030 miles. I probably won't do that again for a long time. I had this call, received a call from a concerned family member of this young lady that's been put in a so-called, I want to call it a rehab facility that wasn't a rehab facility. I didn't know at the time, and I told them I'd check into it. Well, this was in Powder Springs area, Cobb County, but just because something is going on in another jurisdiction doesn't disbar us from conducted an investigation, because the people live here. This woman lives here. The person that was assigned to this facility, or what
it was a rehab facility, so it wasn't like a permanent home for her. She had
no,
hoped to come
well,
back
it was
eventually.
Operating under the terms, mm-hmm. I think, as a rehab facility, but it was a normal house, and they were just keeping people in there, taking money, and they wasn't governed by the state of Georgia, and they all host the laws, this and that, and everything else. But bottom line is, I was asked to check into it. I did. I had to go to, I was on vacation that week, but I rode over to Kennesaw Hospital to check on a fellow citizen who's involved in an accident. And on the way back, I had to drive by there. So I enlisted the help of Powder Springs PD to just go by and do a welfare check. They already had a couple of investigations going on. Mm-hmm. They was in the preliminary stage of it. So I asked them, because I'm in another jurisdiction, I wanted them to go with me. So we went in. Right off the bat, red flags started going up, this and that. And due to the ongoing investigation, the complaints they already had, the facility was shut down. There were six people. This lady was laying in the bed. She had suffered a stroke. She was paralyzed on the right side, couldn't get up, been laying there for a month, no therapy whatsoever. She couldn't even get up on the side of the bed to eat her lunch or anything like that. It was just a whole host of problems. They didn't have no license during their check. They had no business license whatsoever. They wasn't registered. They just wasn't registered to do anything they were supposed to do, but they was taking money. And Powder Springs shut them down, called for six ambulances. There were six patients in the house. Everyone was transported out to an area hospital to be checked and get the necessary help that they needed. And and this woman had been laying there for 30 days, and they had went over to visit with her, and they was appalled. She was getting fed three cheese sandwiches a day, breakfast, lunch, and supper. And when I checked into that, they had a meal chart, and this is what they're supposed to choose from, what they want. But when I was there was a sandwich there, and it was a chicken salad sandwich. And she said, I told them I didn't want that. She told them what she wanted, but this is what they brought her. So she wasn't going to eat it. So she hasn't eaten nothing since that morning, but she couldn't set up to eat it because she was paralyzed on the right side. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we'll help her eat it. And this, I said, well, when did you bring it? It was 2.5 hours later, and they ain't done nothing. So they shut it down. She got removed to area hospital, done a status check on her yesterday. She's getting the necessary rehab, and they had her up walking yesterday. So big challenge. And, this is my take or message to the people listening. If you send a loved one to a facility or what you think's fit, whatever, do your homework. Find out who these people are. Ask questions. You know, do a little check, Better Business Bureau, and just do your homework on it. Just don't send somebody where because of a price. And this was really, they charged too much. They charged her $5,500 for 1 month to share a room with somebody. That, well, that's not right either. That's gouging and stuff. But they performed nothing. All she was laying in the bed, and they were just kind of what I call milking her along, you know what I'm saying? And it was all profit-driven. And this is, you know, as a share, this is why we go to work. This is what we do. We help the people. Do you make people mad? Yes. That little guy that owns the facility, whatever, he's in a world of trouble. But I hate it for him because he's doing wrong to these people.
Yeah, the worst type of crime against,
that's
the,
exactly
against the elderly.
Right. And we're not going to put up with it. It's elder abuse at the worst extent. And like I said, I believe in the rule of law. I swore to uphold the law for you and your family, and we're going to do our best, whether it's inside the confines of Harrison County or if it's in Macon, Georgia. We're going to investigate.
Time right now is 8:50. We'll take our final break and come back and continue our conversation. We've got Lisa Lees checked in. She said, Sheriff Stacy also helped me with a matter. He truly is a great man, always helping people out. And she says, good morning there.
Good morning, Lisa.
So, okay, we'll take our break and come back with about 8 minutes on this morning's Community Voice, brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
The conclusion of the Wednesday WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest is Sheriff Stacy Williams out of Harrelson County. Again, got about 8 minutes left in the show. Any changes as you prepare for episode number 2 of the Harrelson County Sheriff Stacy Williams show coming up in January? I mean, do you have to make any changes? Is this, you know, if somebody else was coming in, maybe they would, you know, do a review and, you know, make some additions or subtractions. But how about you? How do you approach that whole new term?
So a lot of people think we've already been 4 years. We ain't. I've been sheriff 3.5 years.
At this point, right, yeah.
As I referred to a while ago, we go by the model of, you know, police-led, police intelligence-led policing model. And stuff like it. And if anybody ever wants to kind of get the skibby on what police do or the mindset or what we do, Sir Robert Peel, he was the forefather of police officers.
Ireland, right?
Yeah. And go back and read, and it's the 9 principles of Sir Robert Peel. And he wrote them many, many, many years ago. I can't remember, it was in the late 1800s. But those principles still remain true today. So. But as we come in, we made adjustments during the first term. We set the cornerstone out here when I told people what I was going to do. We're going to continue the war on drugs. We're not going to relent. And I'm going to tell you, if there's a drug dealer listening out here and you're in Harrelson County, you might be in Carroll County, Polk County. But if you sell drugs in Harrelson County, we're going to hunt you down and we're going to bring you to justice. So answer to you is turn from your illegal ways, or you can just move out of the county and go somewhere else. But we're going to bring you to justice. But we're going to continue the war on drugs. It's decimated our communities. It's decimated our families. We see it every day. We're just not going to put up with it. And we're going to continue to fight on that. I'm limited on resources. I'm limited on manpower. But that is a priority because it has such a drastic effect on our community as a whole. It just has so many tentacles out here from the stealing. We're heck on thieves, and we're going to continue that. But we're going to continue programs like that as far as law enforcement. But we got 11 different programs, and I was talking yesterday about, you know, future plans and stuff like it. We're already tapped out right now with resources of people and stuff like it. We're doing so much for our community. But, you know, we just added a cadet program. Officially, about a week and a half ago, we the Harris County Cadet Program, where we bring kids age 14 to 20 years old in that's interested in law enforcement, a career in law enforcement, and we're going to teach them the principles, leadership. We're going to teach them a lot of things.
Do all those positions available at the Harrison County Sheriff's Office, I mean, that you would train for, do they all have to be, I mean, policing? I mean, do you have jobs where somebody might just be staying at the office and, you know, doing things on the computer, doing research? Would they all involve? I mean, it could just be based on the fact that, you know, you're limited to the amount of people who officers that you can get. But, I mean, are there other jobs rather than thinking about somebody who's out there, you know, getting more involved in crimes?
I would say yes to all your questions. I mean, that was a multi-part question, but mm-hmm. I would say yes. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand, in my business, I've got two types of employees. I've got certified deputies and I got jailers. I do have civilian staff. I mean, we run a front office. We work 24/7, 365 days out of the year. We have different jobs for, you know, different functions, but in our facility, our people wear multiple hats, okay? Yeah, they might be an investigator, but they might be they might do crime scene. They might do the mental health, the Harrison County Crisis Response Team. You know, they're assigned to it. So they have additional duties. They're part of the evidence room. You see what I'm saying? That's an integral part. Part of training. They might be an instructor, teacher. They might be a firearms instructor. They might be a classroom instructor. Everybody wears many hats.
But to get started, though, you have to pay your dues being out in the field,
you
right,
do.
To get started.
You know, okay. And that's just it. We call it constructive criticism. A lot of officers, the younger generation now, you've got to dedicate yourself to this job. Nobody wants to get into law enforcement no more. It dang sure ain't because of our pay, because we're like one of the lowest paid. And that's one of the things that I'm going to address. My jailers make we start them out at $13.93 an hour. That's the new rate. And I couldn't pay my bills on that. You couldn't pay your bills on that. I don't even know how they make it. But when it comes to budget that I'm giving, and we have a multi-million-dollar budget, but this ain't the 1980s no more. These people have to have a living wage. So we're going to work on that. We're going to continue to build the bridges on that right there. It's been an ongoing process. Even my deputies pay. Tallapoosa starts out more than we do. Bremen starts out more than we do. The Georgia State Patrol starts out way more than we do. It's just, I've lost four officers in the last month and a half, 2 months. And it's just, you're bleeding, you know, because of financials, because of money, because of benefits and stuff like that. So, but as we go forward, we're gonna do better. Oh, you know, yeah. I hope so anyway. But it's all about, we deliver a service. We're a service organization. We don't build houses for, you know, at the end of the year, I don't have 130 homes, say Colin. I built 130 homes. I sold 130 homes. Man, look at everything we did and look at the profit. No, I have stats. That's what we have. It's just law enforcement, public safety. You spend a lot of money, but you got to look at what you get. Law enforcement, fire department, 911, and EMS, those are you four, but our three is the 911 fire department. And see, the fire department gets like a $1.6 million staffing from the insurance commissioners every year in their budget. 911 gets $48,000 a month, like $600,000 a year from 911 fee. The sheriff's office, the law enforcement side, we get nothing. We don't get money infused like it, or stipends or something like it. Ours is all based off, you know, the people's taxes and things like it. So
if
you add them two together, that's $2.2 million.
I know we could talk for 2 hours easily, and
we
probably should do this more anyway. And maybe, you know, when Sheriff Terry Langley, if he would see you on this program a lot more, he might start, you know, want to come on. I don't think we've asked him even to come on, but maybe he would be encouraged to come on if he sees you on here more. Thank you for coming by.
No, thank you.
Thank you for the biscuit.
Thank you. I'm glad you like it. I love them.
Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening to this morning's Community Voice program. On tomorrow's show, we have David Brooks, who is city manager for the city of Carrollton. That program starts at 8:30 here on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. Have a great Wednesday.